So let's take off with that. Okay, so essentially we are now deep into the very fascinating concept of Gzeira L'Gzeira, which will come up on our Gemara very soon, but we need to anticipate it in order to take our introductory theme a little further. So we have laid out the following points. Bishul Basar B'Chalav, according to at least one understanding, not necessarily the only way to understand, but according to the way some understand the Rambam, Bishul Basar B'Chalav might be understood as a safeguard, as a gzeira for Achilas Basar B'Chalav. Maybe Achilas Basar B'Chalav is really what we're concerned about. And the Torah prohibited Bishul as a safeguard to prevent that. That's the way the Kesef Mishnah expressed it. Some thought the Rambam himself was pretty clear about that. So if that's the case, would that have any ramifications? And in general, does it have any ramifications to assign that status, to call a mitzvah in the Torah a gezeira for something else, a concept which has been discussed throughout rabbinic history, but Rav Yosef Engel made particularly well known with his essay, the Sefer Lekach Tov. Does it make a difference? Does it matter to assign this status? So yesterday we spoke about a couple of possible differences, particularly within Basar B'Chalav, how it might make a difference. And now, let's enter into a whole category of possible differences, which opens up its own fascinating discussion and has particular relevance to our Gemara. Kuf Kimmel Mideiz, Kuf Dalim Ra'al from Chulin. The concept of Ein Gozerin Gezeira L'Gezeira, the idea that we don't find double Gezeiras, is that something that is applicable only to Dinim D'Rabbanan? Is it based on a logic that is specific to Dinim D'Rabbanan? Or is it something we could extend even to Dinim D'Oraisa, if we call them Gezeiras? If we recall a specific Din D'Oraisa Gezeira, would it make sense to also say there that we shouldn't combine two Gezeiras? Now, what if we want to mix and match? What if we're dealing with one Gezeira D'Oraisa and one Gezeira D'Rabbana? So, a part of this would depend on why do you say in Gozer and Gezer or Gezer? So I started this question yesterday, and we threw out the question. We got a couple of possible responses. So I think over here, Mayor Jordan made a few possible approaches along the lines of it's too crazy, right? I think with those words used, too much, too crazy, too out of control, something like that. That maybe there has to be some restraint in rabbinic enactments. So that's a possibility. Now we discussed the complex approach of the Torah Tamima to the idea of Kalamosif Gareya. That the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that it's bad to add things, Kalamosif Gareya. We saw that Adam and Chava got in trouble because they had an expanded version of God's command about the Eitz Hadas. They said, don't touch, when really God said, only don't eat. And there's a question that presents itself. We like Gezeiros. We have a notion of a Siyu Siyag L'Torah. So how does that reconcile? So we mentioned that probably instinctive approach to that is it's all about presentation. If you're clear that it's an added step, then that should solve all the problems. But there's a more complex approach in the Torah Tamima that says that, no, it's all about calibrating properly. That gezeiros are a sophisticated business. That you have to make gezeiros that are balanced and match. You should make gezeiros that are necessary, but too much is a problem. So it could be that that's a theme here, that maybe there's a balance to how much Chazal are allowed to enact enactments, and they can't go too far. So maybe a gzeira l'gzeira is, as you so poetically put it, too crazy. That there's only too much, only so far they can go. Now, you saw Rashi in Beitza, in Daf Beis and Midbeis. And so what does Rashi invoke over there?
The source.
Right, so what source does he invoke?
Pasuk in Acharnos.
Right, so what does that Pasuk say?
Shemar
Rashi. Okay, right, so what does Rashi do with it?
That it's not actually make a safeguard on a safeguard, but it's don't make like zero on top of another zero.
Okay, right, so what's fascinating about it, if you think about it, right, so very good. So what Ron is telling us is that Rashi quotes the Pasuk, which itself is quoted in the Gemara in Yevamos, that the Pasuk says, U'shmarti mishmarti, asu mishmeres l'mishmarti. That much is from the Gemara. Right, that you should make a safeguard for my prohibitions. And Rashi adds to that, so make a safeguard for the Torah, not for the mishmaros themselves, not for the safeguards themselves. So it's interesting to think about that for a second. Right, so it's one thing, okay, what the Gemara in Yevamos is getting from that pasuk is that there is a positive obligation. Protect the Torah. Where do you see from there any negatives, any limits? By the way, don't make a gzera la gzera. Like, how do you know that it doesn't just mean, why shouldn't you think more is better? If that Gemara is telling you, keep your distance, so why shouldn't I logically come to the conclusion that if I keep even more distance, that's even better? Yeah, Jordan.
I mean, you could say that to get it in accordance with the other Gemara that we saw, that, like, you know, adding more, like, really takes away.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that, like, really, it only means adding to a certain, like, extent, I guess.
So, you're definitely right, but how do we formulate that in a more precise way? Because it sounds like what it's saying is that the Gemara is giving a very more specific message than it might sound like. And that, first of all, we could have taken, and we probably would have thought without this Rashi, that the Gemara is just giving a directive. Stay away from harm. Stay away from aver. But apparently there's a little bit of background that we also need to be told that it's okay to create the safeguard. And maybe that's because of Baal Tosef, maybe it's not as formal as that. But we need to be told that there's a justification for this kind of action. Again, whether it's because of the formality of Baal Tosef, or maybe it's because of we don't want to mess with the balance of the Torah for a more general concern. Whatever it is, apparently the assumption is we need to be authorized to take protective measures. So when the Torah says "Ushmartim es mishmarti," there's two things in there. There is a obligation to protect the Torah, but there's also a license to take the step. And that's where Rashi is filling in, that the license only goes so far. And that if you're going to step two steps away, instead of one step away, you don't have an authorization for that. We don't have a basis. Presumably, he doesn't mean that there's an isser in that reading of mishmaris and mishmaris, but there's no justification for mishmaris and mishmaris. So we're left with the default that there isn't anything telling us that we're authorized to take two steps away. All we have is this authorization to take one step away. And I think I alluded to the fact there'd be a Daf Yomi reference here. So for those holding in Brachos, you don't have to be holding that much, but just to those who made it to the first day of Daf Yomi, or those who even just went to the Daf Yomi scene and heard the first Mishnah, So there is a question that comes up from the first Mishnah in Shas. That the first Mishnah in Shas mentions Machlokas about when Kriya Shema ends. Kriya Shema at night. How late can you say Kriya Shema at night? So there are three opinions in the Mishnah, and two of them are you can say Kriya Shema all night because B'shach B'cha means all night, the whole night that you are sleeping or could be sleeping. And the second of the three opinions is until Chatzos. And it's clear from the Mishnah already that that opinion is not really an interpretation of the Torah, but it's a siyag that we're concerned that maybe you'll be too casual about when you can say Kriya Shema, and therefore you should make sure to say it before Chatzos. So the Prima Gadim has a question there, which is not so easy to answer. So Shechter said he gave a shiur about this at the time of the CM. He said the question is better than the answer. That it's not so clear why that gezeira is justified. Because the gezeiros that we find in general are to prevent lo sases, are to prevent violations of prohibitions. Kriya Shema is a positive mitzvah. To prevent the neglect of a positive mitzvah, it's not clear that we have a justification for a gezeira. And this language of asu mishmeres l'mishmarti, mishmartem es mishmarti, so the language of mishmeres is a prohibition. Yishomer, pen, blah, va'al, are the languages the Torah uses for lo sase. So the question is, the Torah gave us a justification to prevent, to take measures to prevent violating a lo sase. How do you know we have justification to do that also to prevent the neglect of a mitzvah sase? So it essentially directly parallels this, right? The same pasuk, which tells us that we should take measures so that we don't violate a lo sase in the Torah. So essentially, it's this exact same question as this. So how do we know that it allows us to take such measures to prevent a lo sase midrabana? And in Maseches Brachos, the exact same question, how do we know that it allows us to take such measures to prevent a bitul aseh min haTorah? Maybe all we have from that is to prevent a lo saseh min haTorah.
That gzira itself is different also. It's not like the Torah is saying it's usher to do something. They're saying you have to do it before Chatzos.
It's a very mysterious gzira. And it's subject to a lot of machlokas. And it's machlokas what it would mean, and it's machlokas if it exists. So it's machlokas in the Mishnah, it's machlokas in the Rishonim, whether we accept the gzera. There's a lot that's mysterious about that gzera. But the whole, and it may be that's why it's machlokas, because the whole premise is shaky. Maybe we don't have justification for it. But in a way, it directly parallels gzera le gzera, because you could ask the exact same question, that if Rashi is right, that the issue is it exceeds the bounds of this pasuk of Mishmartim is Mishmarti, so maybe they both exceed the bounds in the same way. They're both not justified by this instruction of take measures to prevent the violation of lo sase min haTorah. So maybe that's the issue. It's about drabanans. We also mentioned yesterday that Menachas Elazar, a number of other achronim have the approach that if you were to say that there's a fundamental difference between Daraisas and Darabanans in terms of their inherent quality, that Daraisas are inherently bad, if we're talking about Averos. Averos Daraisas are inherently bad, and Averos Darabanan are not inherently bad. So then, the impact of a shogeg is going to be affected. That an Avera Daraisa B'shogeg still has a stain to it. And an Avera Darabanan B'shogeg, like we explained yesterday, maybe doesn't have such a stain to it. So if the whole point of a Gezerah is to prevent a Shogeg, so then if it's a drabbanan, maybe what's the point of preventing a shogeg drabbanan? It's not such a big deal. But preventing a daraisa b'shogeg, that's where we're worried. And that's why we have a gezeira. So there's no point in building a gezeira on top of a din drabbanan. So that also would seem to assume we're dealing with din drabbanan. So far, the explanations we have all would not apply to a gzeira deraisa. Even if we're calling a din deraisa gzeira, the logic of a gzeira l'gzeira wouldn't seem to apply. Is there any way to make it apply? Even just conceptually? Sorry? Okay, explain.
If gzeira, if you're deraisa, presumably you'd be more chamor than if you're derabanan. The reason why that goes from zero to zero, and if they're derabanan, is because zero, if they're derabanan, is also chamor, and maybe for zero deraisa.
So all the more so, you'd say, all the more so, we shouldn't apply in Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera to Gzera Deraisa.
We should allow.
Yes. Right. So I'm saying to apply the issue of in Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera to a Deraisa, so far every argument is saying it should only be because we're assuming we're dealing with Drabanas. But if you're dealing with a Gzera Deraisa, if you're dealing with a Din Deraisa, even one that we're calling a Gzera.
What about the two crazy arguments?
So does the two crazy argument apply to Deraisas?
I think so.
Okay, expand maybe.
I mean, the whole point is just, I don't see why, what would be the reason for the chilek between.
Okay, I think that some.
Either way, you're going too far by making zero like zero.
Okay, so, but expand on what you're saying, because I think you might be onto something, but.
That's all I got.
Okay, so tell me if I'm along the lines of what you're getting at. So far, we've said everything that we've said is based on a drabbanan, right? Either because preventing a drabbanan is not justified by the pasuk v'shmarta mitzvah v'shmarti, or because the Rabbanan b'shogeg is not significant, or because it's less chamer in general. But what maybe Meir is saying now is no, but the logic of a safeguard itself dictates against the gzera or the gzera. That the logic of a safeguard itself indicates you only need one safeguard. And that a double safeguard is itself extreme by nature. And that's where Kalmosif Garea starts to come in. Already there's something inherently extreme in we don't build double safeguards. So maybe there is some kind of logic that would allow us to say in Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera by a din, even if it's daraisa, if we call it a gezeira. So if we could open the door to that, so let me ask you now, is there anyone who says ein gozrin gezeira l'gezeira even by dinim daraisa? So I'll tell you, the answer is, there is at least one achron who says it, and it's a pella, because it is a big chiddush based on what we've just put on the table. But maybe we can explain it based on that approach. And maybe we can explain it a little bit more. And maybe we could find a support for it in a Rishon also. Okay? You ready for that journey? The Prima Gadim, classic commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Ta'omim, also wrote a Chashuv Sefer on Chulin, actually. But the Prima Gadim is also the author of Svarim of Hakdama and Svarim of Klalim. So in his Psicha HaKoleles, Prima Gadim asserts as follows. There is a Medrash, which I put on today's list, that we know that a Nazir is not supposed to drink wine. What about Kol Mishras Anav, what about grapes, things like that? So there it is in Isser also. Says the Medrash, do you get to see this? Says the Medrash, that is only a safeguard so that you shouldn't come to drink wine. Okay, so essentially, how would you categorize that? Gzeira deraisa, is that what you said? Gzeira Daraisa. Says the Prima Gadim, that might come into contact with another Gzeira Daraisa. What's the other Gzeira Daraisa that might be brought into the discussion? So that's a sugya that I put on the list yesterday. Sugya called Chatzi Shir. Let's give a minute to introduce that topic. There is a concept in the Torah of Shurim. We know that there are many, many prohibited foodstuffs in the Torah. Many times we're not allowed to eat. We're not allowed to eat chazer. We're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. We're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. Not allowed to eat truma from the kohen, etc. So usually, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma that eating is defined by a kezias, roughly speaking, the size of an olive. We're not going to get into the whole controversy now of what that actually means today. But roughly speaking, the size of an olive. Happens to be that for Yom Kippur, the shear is larger, but for the most part, the Gemara says, when we talk about eating, so we're referring to a kezias. And we said yesterday, that's also an indication that by basar b'chalav, it's really all about the eating, because by basar b'chalav also we use the kezias to define the isur, even when it comes to bishul. So if I eat a kezias of chazer, I'm chayiv malchus. If I eat a kezias of truma, I'm chayiv misa. If I eat a kezias of chametz on Pesach, I'm chayiv karis. So what happens if I eat less than a kezias? Is that okay? I want to have a little Hershey's Kiss made of pork. I'm curious, I just want to taste it. I don't want to have a whole kezias. Is that mutter? So that's called chatzi shir. Chatzi probably does not mean half. Chatzi in this case means fraction. Fraction of a shear, if I were to have a little piece. So the Gemara says that that is prohibited. Chatzi shear is also. So what's the difference between a chatzi shear and a whole shear? It's not subject to punishment. So you're not going to be chayiv malchus or nisa or karis, but it's still prohibited. According to Reish Lakish, it's prohibited midrabanan. In the Torah, you're allowed to do that. Midrabanan. You can't have even a little bit. So, according to Reish Lakish, why is it prohibited? Probably as a siag, right? Because the real iser is having a kezias, but we don't want to let you have a little bit because you'll likely have more. It's what you call in halacha the potato chip svara. And you can't have just one. So you'll have one, you'll keep going. Now we happen to paskin, like almost all the Rishonim paskin, like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is Chatzi Shir Asur Minatorah. That's a prohibition Minatorah to have even a little bit of something that is prohibited. Why? So the Gemara has two possibilities. One is a pasuk in Parshas Tzav. The other is a svara. And the svara is a big debate how to interpret it. You saw this Gemara, it was on the course yesterday. The language of the Gemara is Kevan the Chazil Itztarufe Isura Ka'achil, which can be translated in different ways. But some translate it to mean that since it's chazil itzrufe, it's fit to combine with more. So it's prohibited. Some understand that to mean, again, it's a siag, that we're concerned that you're going to come to finish the whole thing. Now, others don't understand it that way. Yeah, Mayor?
I don't know if this works, but I would argue, mm-hmm. Yeah, we mentioned that concept before, that basar b'chalav is a chiddush.
Mm-hmm.
There's two mutter things.
Right.
So how can it make sense? Usher.
Right.
So would that maybe be the svara of Kazi al-Sarufe? That if everything less of a desire is mutter,
right.
And how could it combine things like usher?
Well, here, but the thing is that it's the same thing, just increased. So the question is, what happens if the same thing is decreased? So why should it be permitted? So presumably, it's only a question of importance. And when it becomes so small, it's not important. So it could be that that's the way to understand it, that it's not a siyag. So you could say that, no, chazal shrufa doesn't mean a siyag. That's the other way of understanding it. But it's just a way of saying that, listen, if you have a significant amount of this pork substance, let's say, pork, if you have a kezias, you're going to be subject to malchus. So what does that show you? It shows you this is bad. If it's bad, then you shouldn't have any of it. That might be how to understand the svar.
How that fit in the lashon of chazal shrufa?
That kevan the chazal shrufa, that since the same item, if you just increase it, you're going to be violating an iser, iser ka'achal. So then that shows you that this is a bad thing. This shows you that this is something objectionable.
Another thing that's really master that it relates to the fact that it could combine and then...
Well, that's subject to interpretation. It could mean that we're worried about it combining, or it could mean that just theoretically, the same substance, if you just increase it, you're going to be subject to malchus. That shows you it's a bad thing. And if it's a bad thing, then it's bad even by itself. It shows you the only reason you're not getting malchus is because you're flying under the radar. But you see that it's bad. Same way, you know, your teacher tried to show you that if you leave your tooth in a can of Coke for a week, that your tooth disappears. So you'll say, well, I don't plan on leaving my tooth in a can of Coke for a week. But you think, oh, yeah, forget that. But the point is to show you that it's bad, right? So you're saying that, okay, you're not actually going this far, but that's a way of showing that it's bad. So too, that's how some understand it. But what you're saying is all the more so to this point, you're saying, okay, you don't buy that interpretation. You think the more likely interpretation is the siyag interpretation, that we're concerned that we're going to actually finish it.
Even according to that, I don't know why that would be a heck of a say it's also the deraisa. In general, the Torah is not...
Oh, okay, I think that's a very fair question. I have what to say about that. I'm going to set it aside for now just in the interest of time. I think it's a very well put question. Maybe we'll talk about that afterwards, just because we won't finish today. We're actually almost ready. So we'll have to, as it is, we're going to have to push things over tomorrow. But it's a good question. So many understand, many, there's a very extensive literature on this. Many understand that Chatzi Shir is a siyak. And according to the vast majority of Rishonim, Chatzi Shir is a Torah prohibition. And Chazal Shrufa, they sound like it's a siyag kind of svar. So, says the Prima Gadim, what would happen if a Nazir wanted to have a Chatzi Shir of grapes? Says the Prima Gadim, you know what? It'd be mutter. Why? Gezeira le gezeira. Even though both gezeiras are deraisa. Yeah, mutter completely. So that the intersection of two dinim deraisa is mutter because both dinim are characterized as gezeiras. Now, setting aside that you would have to be confident that both dinim are gezeiros, and there's room to question, but let's grant that you're confident that both of them are. Still, that's a pretty big chiddush, right? Because most of the approaches that we've had were to say that it's premised on the assumption you're dealing with the rabbanans. And Rav Yosef Engel, the king of gezeira deraisa, Siag Deraisa, he found this to be, to quote Jordan, too crazy. Well, he was a little more respectful. He found it to be too much. He found this to be too far. How could you say that Gezeira le Gezeira applies when you're dealing with the Gezeiras Deraisa? So, I wonder if we could possibly explain it. And we're going to go too far because we're going to run out of time. So I will just try to say very briefly. I will have to overflow a little bit into tomorrow, where I'll give you also some more makaros, because it will go into another point. But what if you say the following? What if you say that maybe it's not premised on drabanans, but it's premised on the logic of a safeguard, that you only have one safeguard at a time? And maybe the Torah also functions that way. And how do you know that? So first of all, if we assume that, setting aside for a second Rashi in Beitza, which seems to be a chiddush, right? Rashi was offering that svara of the limitations of Shmarti, Mishmarti on its own. So Tosfos over here, and the language of the Gemara overall, when it talks about Gezerah L'Gezerah, sounds like it's essentially a given. That Chazal took it as a given that we don't make Gezerahs. So how do they know that? Gezerahs L'Gezerahs, we don't make double Gezerahs. So how do they know that? Why is it so obvious to them? So perhaps they took that as a given because there is a general rule that called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the Raisa Tikkun. That when Chazal made their enactments, they generally patterned themselves after Torah law. And the way Rav Soloveitchik in particular understood that, and Rav Shechter has an article about this, one of his farm, that they used the model of Torah law in their own enactments. And he noted that sometimes you can work backwards and you can look to a din d'rabbanan and learn how Chazal understood a din manatorah, working off the assumption that they patterned their dinim after Torah law. So maybe the premise that they had, that ein gozrin gezerah l'gezerah, is on the one hand, like Meir had said before, conceptually sound, and maybe they saw that the Torah itself worked under that framework. And to give it an additional push, so did you get a chance to see the Avos d'Rav Nosson? Right, so the Avos d'Rav Nosson in general is kind of an expanded, greatly expanded presentation of Pirkei Avos. Right, so in Pirkei Avos, you all know the first mission in Pirkei Avos, which says, that's an instruction to Chazal, right? That the rabbis should protect the Torah, should make a siag. How does the Avos d'Rav Nosson expand on that, that you saw this morning? By linking it to what? By linking it to the Torah's gezeiros. And saying, what's an example of harchakos that the Torah itself makes? And it gives the example, every high school student's favorite example. It's known in modern language as Nigia, right? That Yechibuk V'Nishuk Barayos, Lo Sikravu L'Galo Serva. So why is Avos Rav Nosson telling us this? So here you have the Mishnah saying Chazal should make a safeguard for the Torah. And the Avos Rav Nosson is saying, what's an example of where the Torah makes a safeguard for its own rules? So perhaps the message here is that the rabbis should look to the model of the Torah and look to the format of Gezeros and figure out how they should pattern their own Gezeros. So maybe Chazal's working assumption here and in Beitza and in Shabbos and everywhere else this comes up, that in Gozrin Gezerah L'Gezerah, is because they had this tradition that even the Torah, when the Torah itself makes safeguards, it does not double up with safeguards. And therefore, they took the same approach. Maybe that's what the Prima Gadim, which is still a big Chiddush, there's no question. Prima Gadim is still a big Chiddush, but maybe that's where it's working off of. So we could say that to support the prima gaudium conceptually. Now, we're out of time, so I just want to give you a little hadracha for tomorrow and to tell you where we'll pick up with. So, I think you could also possibly find a support for the prima gaudium from an opinion in Rishonim. And it was on today's Makoros list. So, first assignment for tomorrow, first thing bright and early, is to figure out, can you find a support in Rishonim for the prima gaudium's view? Maybe a Rishon saying that you wouldn't double up Gezeiros even on a Daraisa level. And then we have to consider that if the prima gaudium is correct, that you wouldn't combine Chatzi Shir with a Gezeira Daraisa, so that would have major ramifications for us, because Chatzi Shir is very relevant to Bishul Basu B'chalev. So what's the halacha for Bishul Basu B'chalev by Chatzi Shir? So we'll have to talk about that. So what's the Prima Gaudium have to say about that himself? So that's something that we'll have to try to plug in to that kind of framework. And then all of that is going to affect the Mishnah. So I will give you some more to see about the Mishnah itself. Okay, I wish everyone a wonderful day. You should have a fantastic afternoon. And look forward to, God willing, seeing you tomorrow.